I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Our next guest roams between the worlds of rock and reggae and the blues to tell bittersweet stories about life.
Used to stay up every night, be so all alone. In my hand, my trusty pen, I'm working it to the bone. Ghostwriter, writer, just trying to make it up. Ghostwriter, writer. Fill my empty cup.
That is Garland Jeffrey singing Ghostwriter from his album of the same name. A son of Brooklyn, he first began playing in Manhattan nightclubs in the late 1960s. His first hit song, Wild in the Streets, propelled him to the national scene and was later covered by many artists. In 1977, he was named Best New Artist by Rolling Stone. And since then, he's produced memorable albums, including One-Eyed Jack, American Boy and Girl, Don't Call Me Buckwheat, and Matador and more. Now, after a decade out of the studio, he is back with a new album, The King of In Between. And Garland Jeffries was kind enough to fit us in between everything else he's doing in our performance studio 4A in Washington. Thank you so much for coming.
It's really nice to be here.
You know, I have to tell you, the title of the album is like its own little poem, you know?
Yeah.
And let me just read some of the words from the inside of the CD, if you don't mind. You know, I should have you read this. Do you want to read it?
Sure,
you read it. Okay, why am I doing your thing?
Here, yeah, what are you reading that for?
Here.
Let me read it. In between the cracks, in between the lies and the facts, in between the secrets and the lies, the other side of the tracks, between the mansions and the shacks, between the whites and the blacks, the king of in between. And I think probably for the most part, it tells that story of my life from the very, very beginning, being a very light-skinned kid in a very mixed neighborhood, unusual in a certain way. This was in Sheepshead Bay. We were the only family of color in the Catholic Church in all of Sheepshead Bay. And the Baptist Church was down the street from me. And I was kind of in between these two situations. Both church-wise, yeah, but more like people-wise.
You know, the other thing about this album is I don't know if you think of it this way, but when I heard it, it feels very much of the moment. It's not just about the interior world. It's about a lot of things that a lot of people are experiencing right now. So I just want to say, do you feel like you want to play something? You want to play Coney Island Winter, and then we can talk a little bit more about it? Or?
Yeah, that is definitely a song of the moment, and that was the last song written for the album. And I wrote the song in one day and recorded it the following day. And my wife had already said, you know, you have written enough songs for this album. Don't you think you should put it away, you know? I said, no. You know, as I say from time to time, no. And I went in and wrote that song. And to me, it's the perfect song to open up the album. Woman walks down the street, tears come rolling down her face, frozen on her cheeks, steeplechase, no time to waste, heaven blessed, heaven sent, hark the angels, can't pay the rent, jobs are gone, they came and went, all the money has been spent, all the games are broken down, rust has fallen to the ground. They say they're gonna fix this town, straight from City Hall. Coney Island winter. Coney Island winter. Last stop off for the Iron Horse. Ride shuts down on a winter course. Round and round and round and round and round. On a Ferris wheel comes to a stop. Standing on mermaid and surf.
Shutters have been shut, colder than a knife that cut. Streets of summer with a Coney Island strut. I'm on a mission of my own. Don't wanna die on stage with a microphone in my hand. In my hand. Coney Island winter. Coney Island winter. Coney Island winter. Coney Island, Coney Island, Coney Island, Coney Island, Coney Island winter.
Thank you. Well, so what was going on? You mentioned that you wrote it in a day and recorded it the next. What happened?
It's just the circumstances of people today, how people are living, how people are struggling. It is very sad for me. I can feel it, and it's affected me. So this song just came right out. You know, it's the Coney Island that I grew up in, that I loved, that I spent so much time on the beach with my family and the rides, and it was great times. Just sort of turn this story around a little bit to kind of paint a picture of the way things are right now.
I think the message and the kind of your passion and care will remind some listeners of, I think he's a friend of yours, Bruce Springsteen. Do you feel that that kind of care and concern for others is lacking in music right now? You feel like you just had this, I guess, you know what, I guess I'm kind of going around the barn here. Kind of what I really want to ask is, this is your first album in 10 years, and I just wondered, you obviously have a lot to say, and I just wondered why you haven't been talking to us over the last 10 years. So.
I had a great opportunity. I sort of came through a certain period of time of songwriting and album making. And, you know, my wife said to me, my wife at the time was 38, and she said, you know, we never talked about this, but out of nowhere she said, can we try to have a kid? What do you think? I said, yeah, right away. I mean, yeah, let's try. So we did a couple of years, and then she got pregnant. So I made a decision to be with my kid, not just to be a good father, but to have the experience for myself, you know, to make a kind of family that I never had. Like I remember my daughter a few years ago, she's 15 now, so she said to me, I think six when she was six or seven, I don't know exactly how she knew, but she said, Dad, you were beaten by your father, weren't you? And I said, yes, I was. And it's something you never have to worry about, you know. So I wanted to be with a family, and that's what I did.
Is that hard to say out loud? I mean, we often hear women say that, but we don't often hear men say that. And we especially don't often hear rock stars say that.
I don't think about it in those terms at all. I think about it you know, when you have a baby and the baby's there. It's just your child. It looks like me. Maybe people out there who are listening now, they think this is corny and everything. But it was very important to me. And my daughter has had her dad home all these years. And she's now plays piano. She sings. She's got a great voice. She's a songwriter. She's really a smart kid. I would like to think that I contributed to some of that.
Well, bravo you.
Great.
So what made it time to come back out?
Just, you know, I better get myself going. I wasn't the only one who was saying it either. My wife said, you know, I wish you'd get out of the house and, you know, make some money.
Okay. Well, let's see about that. If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm visiting with
I'm telling
singer.
You more, too, I'll
That's
tell you.
That's it. You sure are. Break it down. I'm speaking with singer-songwriter Garland Jeffries. We're talking about his new album, The King of In Between. Going back to one of the things that you've talked about, you've touched on a couple of times, is the whole question of race and being, you know, of a biracial background. Which is a very rigid way to talk about it, but you know, that's kind of the language we use. And but you've talked a lot about race in your work. Like, for example, in your 1992 song, Don't Call Me Buckwheat.
Yeah.
I'll just play a little bit for people who haven't heard it in a while. Here it is.
This is a song about words, the power of words. Well, it all takes place in a big city with a very small mind. Call me buckwheat.
I haven't heard some of those in a while, but you know, I'm not dating you, but I know those are some of those things. I know my father grew up with some of those that we've kind of edged around some of the lyrics. Do you think that you would write that song today?
Well, it was only 92. I guess it's 18 years or so.
Uh-huh.
It is a long time ago in a certain way. I was at a Mets game. I was in right field, sitting on the foul line. It was an amazing game, and I was getting up, watching the game, sort of mesmerized by the game, but also getting up because I was going to get some Franks and stuff for the guys. And a guy says, "Hey, Buckwheat, get the out of here." And first of all, I never heard it used like that so directly. You know, I mean, Buckwheat was a character on TV. I never saw it that way. And I was upset. I left the area, went online, and I right away said, "Don't call me Buckwheat," in my head. And I went home and wrote the song. It became the umbrella for the whole album. "Don't call me Buckwheat," you know, get even. That's the way I look at it. But really, it's always been there. It's something I struggled with for the longest time as a young kid, being called all kinds of names, like many black kids, not feeling comfortable, in my case, on either side, in either place, black or white. But I have a love for all people, and always have. And I have a lot of fans who support it. And that's really nice, you know. They let me know in one way or another that they're with me, regardless of what color they are.
So how does it feel to be back?
I'm really loving it. I almost killed myself making this album. It was like grueling. You know, I wrote a zillion songs, but I chose the right ones, you know. And in the end, I wrote these two songs. This Love Is Not a Cliche also. I'm glad that the journalists and critics and radio agrees with me.
Okay.
This time.
So can we talk you into one more? How about Love Is Not a Cliche? Can we talk you into it?
Yeah,
all right.
I like my folk. I like my jazz. I like my R&B. Love my rock and roll with a dash of soul and funky. I like a message in my sound to tell everybody what's going down. Don't ever want to leave this town. Love is not a cliche. Love is not a cliche. Hey, hey, hey. The land of opportunity goes swiftly down the drain. Go to work on Monday, I hope I'll make the train. I can hardly see what I stand to gain, but I'm true. Now let me explain. Love is not a cliche. Love is not a cliche. Hey, hey, hey. Love is not a cliche. Love is not a cliche. Hey, hey, hey. It's the same all around the world. It's the same for you and me. Goes around and comes around. It takes every part of me. You can feel it on your mind. You can feel it in your heart. Any place or any time. Love is not a cliche. Love is not a cliche. Hey,
Hey, hey, hey.
Love is not a cliche. Love is not a cliche.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. So what are you doing now? You're just running around promoting the album?
I'm playing, first of all, doing a lot of shows, and I do all kinds of shows, some big attendance, sometimes house concerts, and I'm doing it again, and it's been not only a lot of fun, but it's been driving me. You know, it's been great.
Well, it's nice to see you. We wanted to play something to go out on. We just wanted to play Wild in the Streets, and we hear that it's become kind of an anthem for skateboarders.
Yes.
Which I think is kind of...
Yeah,
funny,
it's amazing.
It?
You know, can you imagine? It first was picked up by a group in L.A. It's a big punk group.
Okay. So what do you think? I think we'll go out on that. Garland Jeffries is a singer and songwriter. His new album is The King of In Between, and he was kind enough to join us from our performance studio 4A in Washington, D.C. Garland Jeffries, it's good to see you.
Great to see you, too.
All right.
Are you ready? Wild in the streets.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Freddie Boswell, Brackton Booker, Bridget Deshagas, Arjun Hutchins, Eamon Malone, Sanaj Meshkinpour, Lauren Migaki, Emily Oxenschlager, Amitha Parasher, and Amy Ta. Our intern is Malik Washington. Our director is Monica Evstatieva. Our editors are Alicia Montgomery and Ahmad Omar. They had a hand this week from Lori Grant. Our senior producer is Devar Ardalan. The technical director is Brian Jarbo. He had help this week from Neil Tevolt. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. The executive producer is Tashima Walker. And to tell us more, please go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can also find our podcast there. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tell Me More NPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.
Got a gang called Shady, a midnight lady, and two transvestites to beat.